Until now, the government has kept an extremely tight leash on the data it collects and maintains about current cyber threats, initially distributing those attack signatures only to select members of the Defense Industrial Base, and later to some of their internet service providers. But the president's executive order expands the sharing outside the defense sector to companies who own or operate U.S. critical infrastructure systems. Andy Osmond, the senior director for cybersecurity in the executive office of the president, says any decision to expand that circle of information sharing is a sensitive balancing act.
When you share information too broadly, sometimes it can lose its value because your adversaries learn of it and they change their techniques, and the information is no longer useful. At the same time, if you don't share information, it's very rarely useful. And so what we've done here is we've said, look, as we're doing this risk analysis on whether to share information on the private sector, we need to emphasize, we need to put our finger on the scale a little bit and say, look, we're gonna emphasize the benefit we're gonna receive here. We're gonna take more risk as a government to the information that we've collected. We think that's the only way we can make progress in cybersecurity, is do a better job of sharing with the private sector, because this is a responsibility we all share. And we know that critical infrastructure owners and operators can't respond unless they're informed.
Osmond says the White House is committed to dramatically increasing the timeliness, volume, and quality of the information the government shares with infrastructure operators. One way federal agencies will try to keep those operators better informed is to expand the number of people in those industries who have security clearances. Osmond says the White House realizes the clearance process has been inadequate so far.
We hear time and again from folks in critical infrastructure, look, we need more clearances. We have one person in our company with a clearance. He or she receives the threat information but doesn't have the operational abilities to respond to that information. Or correspondingly, our operators can get the granular information, but we lack the strategic threat picture. And so we hear that message loud and clear. And so the executive order directs DHS to prioritize and increase the issuance of clearances to the critical infrastructure, owners and operators. Now, DHS had a program for doing that. It was on hiatus for about a year and a half for lots of bureaucratic reasons, which we have conquered. And so we have restarted that program and directed DHS to really emphasize it.
But Osmond says clearances can't be the only answer. There are, he says, simply far too many people in the universe of critical infrastructure operators who need to understand cybersecurity issues to grant clearances to all of them. That's where the Enhanced Cybersecurity Services Program comes in. The Defense Department has already been using the program to share cyber threat signatures with a handful of internet service providers so that they can, in turn, offer protection to defense companies as a managed service.
Let's say you're at a base, and you obviously want to protect the perimeter of your base. So you have a guardhouse at the entrance to that base. In our scenario, you've contracted that guardhouse out. You have a middle party providing the guardhouse service. And they can deal with classified information. And so the government gives them a classified photo of a bad guy and says, don't let this guy into the base. But you, within the base, don't get to see the photo. So you're receiving the protection. The guardhouse is going to stop that guy if he tries to enter the base. But we're also not revealing the classified information to everybody within the base. And that's essentially the concept around ECS. Enhanced cybersecurity services.
At the same time, though, Osmond says federal agencies continue to struggle over concerns that some companies who operate critical infrastructure don't have the capacity or know-how to understand and react to cyber threats adequately. In those cases, information sharing isn't good enough.
What we've found is unless an organization has a basic level of capability, a basic level of cybersecurity defenses, then there's no amount of information sharing we can do that will make them successful. So let's go back to our guardhouse analogy. The guardhouse works when it's on the road into the base. But if you don't know how many roads are going in and out of your base, you cannot put guardhouses on them. And having a photo of the bad guy doesn't do you any good if you have no guardhouses and no understanding of the roads that are entering and exiting your base. And that's a situation that we find sometimes in critical infrastructure.
And so, even though the White House says it needs congressional action to effectively ensure minimal cybersecurity standards are being adhered to in critical infrastructure sectors, the executive order does contemplate new cybersecurity regulations, using the power that sector-specific federal agencies already have to regulate their industries. The process will begin with the creation of what the White House calls a cybersecurity framework, a basic set of best practices. That effort will be overseen by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Osmond says the White House chose NIST for a very specific reason.
What we heard from folks in the private sector is, we like to work with the National Institute of Standards and Technology. We're comfortable with this organization. We know that they have a collaborative process where we in the private sector can share our experiences and what we've learned, and then they can help us turn those into standards that are helpful for all of industry. And so what we have done in this executive order is we have tasked NIST to work with the private sector and develop a cybersecurity framework. A framework is essentially a collection of standards. It's not one particular standard, here's how you configure your Wi-Fi to secure it, or at a higher level, here's how you do risk management in cybersecurity. It's instead that collection of standards that we think constitute the core cybersecurity best practices and standards.
NIST has released a request for information to gather industry input on the framework. It expects to issue a preliminary version 8 months from now and a final version of the framework within a year. Then, Osmond says, the White House will tell the critical infrastructure sector-specific agencies it controls to match up the results with the cyber rules they already have in place for their regulated industries.
What we've asked is for those regulators to take the cybersecurity framework, look at their existing regulations, and say, look, are our regulations sufficient? The answer is yes. Great. There's no need to redo or undo any good work that's already been done, including the work at the NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission. On the other hand, if they identify that there are gaps, areas where they need cybersecurity regulations to ensure that our critical infrastructure is protected against cybersecurity threats, then we ask them to propose such regulations. If they do that, they'll follow the normal regulatory process, notice and comment, so there won't be any surprises.
But there are also regulatory agencies the White House has no control over and aren't subject to executive orders. In those cases, for now, Osmond says the White House is requesting that they follow the same process. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.